This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am with Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales. The mice, before the snakes, were the mice. And Jeremy reported to me the odd march of the mice who were starting from agricultural zones within Australia, within New South Wales, and I'm guessing Queensland as well. And they were marching towards Jeremy when we last paid attention to them. Fortunately, the mice were so hungry they started eating their own mice, and the plague stopped short of Sydney. But by that time, the rains were so heavy, I don't know if they could have made it into Melbourne and Sydney. However, we can expect the mice to return with heavy rains. And now, a solution. Jeremy, this is odd. Mice like canola. I didn't know you had so much canola, but the farmers apparently were wiped out with this mice plague. Now, the original explanation for the mice plague was a lot of rain drives them to the high ground, and then they're hungry, so they start eating everything, like a plague of locusts. But the solution, please explain, Jeremy.
Well, John, this is the interesting part now, that the mice themselves, we always thought they were basically eating everything and anything, canola, grain, everything out there, they'll just go for. And as you mentioned too, it looked like it was a salvation thing. They needed to survive somehow, so they were looking for every crop in sight. But after 2 years of extensive studies, it turns out this wasn't actually the case. The mice themselves are very discerning in what they eat. And the fact that they were going for the canola crops and certainly some of our other more specialized grain crops wasn't so much that they necessarily had to survive. It actually turns out in some ways they actually liked the taste, actually enjoyed them. And of course, as soon as they started gorging themselves on these crops, they started populating more and more and more. And that's what partly led to the population boom. So it wasn't our old thought where we knew about the rains created more crops and therefore the mice needed more food to survive because their burgeoning population had come in after the rains and the floods had pushed them out of their normal areas. They had already started acquiring a very expensive taste from the start. So I dare say if we hadn't have had the floods, we probably would still be talking about the same mice story. But the great thing is, John, the fantastic thing is now the scientists have figured out a way to basically stop this coming around again. Because honestly, while we're talking about weird weather events and a hotter spring, these conditions are ripe for having an exact replication of what we had before with a massive mouse population in play. But what scientists have found is that they can trick these little buggers. They can trick the mice. They can actually make them, you know, think that they're not really attracted to a crop when it's really the same crop. And what scientists have found is that by mixing in wheat germ and some other different types of grains, they can actually find basically a type of crop that the mice will think is complete rubbish, not to their taste whatsoever, but it will actually be the proper crop that the farmer needs to grow. So basically, what the scientists have figured out over 2 years is a formula to trick mice into not eating the really expensive crops. And now I have to say it has gone through trials, so it hasn't been tested on a grand scale. But when you hear the horror stories of literally entire fields of farms being wiped out by these little critters, anything's better than nothing right now. So what we're going to see, John, what we're going to see in the next few months is that farmers are going to start sowing into their grain fields, into their crops, wheat germ and a few other additives in an attempt to get the mice to stay away. Now, there is all indications that this is going to work. But John, if this works, I dare say as well that, you know, the snake population that we've had, that will probably go down too, because the snake population followed the mouse population plague. And that's something that we really don't want this time around, given how many snakes we already have out there. So John, this is an amazing story in many ways. Who would have thought that mice were so discerning to start with? And who would have thought the solution was relatively easy to fix without basically putting pesticides across the entire land?
This next story is a reptile story, but it's peculiar. Jeremy, reptiles in Australia, do people eat them as delicacies, especially snakes? Are they part of a menu anywhere?
Yes, yes, they are. That's actually something that's little known about Australia. We have, I guess you could say, the big ticket items that a lot of people who visit us know about. So we have emu, for example, one of our big birds, birds that don't fly, funnily enough. We have crocodiles too, which are often on the menu up in the Northern Territory. It's very tough, tastes like chicken. But snake as well. There are some very specialized restaurants in Queensland and Northern Territory that will actually serve snake. And the snakes are purposely bred for it. And it's basically a type of python, I believe, that they actually cook. And it's a very, very nice meat. But We do actually eat snake. It's just, John, illegal, and I have to point this out, it is illegal to go out and kill a brown snake or a red-bellied black snake to eat, for example, because unfortunately, most of the venomous snakes, the ones that try and kill us on any given day, they're actually protected by law. So as much as we'd probably like to eat those and get rid of them, we can't.
I see. The assassins are protected. I understand. The reason I ask is because this next story is about a snake, I believe it's a python, crawling into a barbecue. It looks like he's ready to go. However, you've taught me that snakes will seek anywhere out of the cold or out of the heat. And in this instance, where was this? Was it a barbecue in Queensland or was it in Sydney? I didn't get it.
Yes, John, that was a barbecue in Queensland. And in fact, it's almost like he did his own pre-preparation for the kitchen himself. So yeah, you're exactly right. Snakes do traditionally try and find warm, dry places to curl up in and stay out of the elements. And I guess if the barbecue had just been used, then a barbecue would have been perfect. But it is ironic because, as we just mentioned, pythons are one of those snakes that we can actually cook. So I don't know, maybe you wanted to save the chef a bit of time or what have you, but I can tell you it was an absolute shock for the poor Queenslander that opened up his barbecue that day and found this. They said it was around 3 to 4 foot at least python in there, but if you have a look at the photo, John, I suspect that was probably closer to 5 foot because it was actually quite a thick body. So, but having said that too, the barbecue was closed, and the fact that such a big snake could sneak up into that barbecue and under the lid shows that these little critters are very, very good at getting into tight spaces. So now we've got to check our barbecues, John, honestly.
That's a very nice looking barbecue. Weber is the name of the manufacturer. Australia is very competitive about barbecue, correct? I mean, people trade up about barbecues. They talk about their new barbecue. They invite their neighbors to come over and sample their barbecue. Is all that correct?
That's correct. In fact, John, I have a Weber myself, a Weber 6 burner. I think that was only a 4 burner, but exactly right. We are very, very proud of our barbecues because, we're an outdoor nation, and hopefully when the weather becomes a bit more normal and we can get back out properly again, I'll be firing up the barbie pretty soon.
Yes, many years ago, when Jeremy and I first were talking during the war, Jeremy taught me to say the Barbie. That's what they call it, Barbie at the beach. And I always thought it was very exotic. And over the years, I read about barbecue in Australia, and it's a thing that everybody agrees is part of being Australian. Isn't that correct, Jeremy? It's part of your national identity that everybody either is a good barbecue cook or attends barbecues and enjoys the food.
That's exactly right, John. And in fact, it's something that we do very routinely in the summertime. It's so much so that if you ever go to an Australian beach, if you look just off the sand on the green spaces, you'll see the councils actually have barbecues near the beach where you can put in a couple of dollars, and basically you don't have to bring your own barbecue. You've got them provided by the local councils because it's in our fabric, it's in our features. And if you have a look, especially at Bondi, if you have a look at any photos of Bondi and look just off the sand and into those spaces where there's either car parks, you'll typically be able to see barbecues there. It's just something that we do. We love a good barbie, and it's a very Australian thing, John.
Yes, I've learned this, but a python in the Barbie is not normal. Jeremy Zach, and the mice, if reduced, will control the snakes. Maybe. We'll see. There's an unusually large number of snakes. No poisonous snakes this week. We'll come back to that another day. Jeremy Zachas reporting on Barbies, snakes, but most especially what looks to be a straightforward solution to the mice plague. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.